Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Memorial Day Eve, May 30th, 2020, and tomorrow is Memorial Day. Memorial Day, formerly known as Decoration Day, as it was a day that they put decorations on the graves of those that died in the Civil War. But it's the now called Memorial Day, and it's the holiday on the last Monday in May, and that would be tomorrow, honoring those who have died in the nation's wars, all of the wars. So I hope you're aware of that, and you take some time tomorrow to think about all those people that served our country and gave the ultimate sacrifice. So I want to play something that I think is appropriate for the beginning of this show on the eve of the holiday. Okay, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a rainy night here in Boston. Temperature at airtime around 50 degrees with a fog and mist outside. And the whole day, the whole weekend so far has been rainy. And I think it's going to continue on the holiday tomorrow, which may be a fitting weather for such somber events. But we do celebrate the day to commemorate those that have served their country and paid the ultimate price with their lives. Well, I want to welcome you all to the show and let you know that the chat room is open. And the call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is 914-803-4379. I hope we can get some callers in tonight and you can tell me what your plans are for the weekend and how you're coping with this pandemic that hopefully is coming to an end. So again, the call-in number, 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from. And if it's outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Well, I want to start off, as usual, with the coronavirus pandemic statistics. We've been doing that now for many programs to keep you abreast of the horrors of this plague that has hit our country and that emanated from Wuhan, China. So let me give you the latest on coronavirus pandemic. And if you want to look up the site to do more research, it's Worldometers. Let me get the exact title. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. Now, on a global scale, the total infected, as I recorded for this show, is 171,007,112. That has increased from 163,652,610 2 weeks ago. That's an increase of about 8,000, less than 8,000. I'm sorry, 8 million. And the active cases now are at 14,171,341. And those are going down. They were over 17 million before. The number of deaths, 3,556,210 compared to 3,391,703 2 weeks ago. Recovered a large amount, 163,279,561, and that's up about 20 million more, 20 million more have recovered. In the USA, we have infected of 34,042,943, and that's up about 300,000 from 2 weeks ago. The number of active cases have gone down to 5,592,515. The number of deaths in the USA is now at 609,544, and that's up from 600,130. That's up about 9,000, let's say 10,000, or roughly 5,000 a week, which is about the same as it was on the previous 2 weeks. And the number recovered is 27,840,884. We're still at the same number of countries that have passed the 1 million mark of infected individuals as 28 countries, same as 2 weeks ago. But I noticed that Pakistan is edging closer to 1 million, and my guess would be that they will be at that level on our next show. We still see a lot of cases in India and in Brazil. They seem to, in India, total is, they're catching up to the USA. There are 28 million compared to 34 million for the USA. And we have seen that India seems to be having an exceptional problem with the virus, and our prayers should go out for that country as well as every country and every person that has been impacted. We see that there is some evidence mounting now that the virus originated in a lab as opposed to a natural place, such as an animal to human transfer, and that Dr. Fauci has indicated, as a post on InfoWars about Dr. Fauci and what he has to say about the matter. It's how Dr. Fauci claimed in 2012 that the gain of function research was worth the dangerous risk of a global pandemic. And this, as more evidence is emerging, that the COVID-19 leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So he seems to have no problem with the research being done, arguing that the research will help in the event of a global pandemic. But I think that it's he's putting the carriage before the horse, and it's backfired, and the more people are starting to conclude that this was a man-made occurrence, and whether or not it was accidental or intentional is still not known. But I think we're playing with fire when we take some of these measures, even though the intention may be good. We should be extra careful in going along with such actions. I get some news about a talk show host who has claimed she was not going to take the vax. So let's see if we can find that. And I'll play you the clip. I don't know the lady, but her name is Wendy Williams, and she was being interviewed by Dr. Oz. He has that show, medical show. So let's see what she has to say.
So are you planning on getting your vaccine?
No.
No?
No. I don't trust it. I've never gotten the flu shot either, though, and you and I have talked about that, and several of the doctors on my team talked to me about, Wendy, we'll get the flu shot. I've never had the flu. I'm not getting a flu shot. I very rarely get a cold. I never have headaches. I don't take an aspirin because I feel my heart murmur or something like that. I'm not getting – no, I don't trust it. There, I said it. Yeah.
So let me go back to the vaccine for a second, because what you say and believe is so important to a lot of people. I mean, millions and millions of Americans are going to say, Wendy Williams didn't get a vaccine, so I don't want to get a vaccine. So let me just ask you, if there's anything that could happen that would make you feel comfortable, 10 million people get vaccinated without a problem. Your neighbor gets vaccinated, a sibling, your son gets vaccinated, someone that's dear to you gets vaccinated and does well, that might make you think, you know, just to get past the hassle of having to lie on my back, recovering from COVID-19 or maybe not recovering, is not worth the risk, that I might actually consider this vaccine.
I'm not getting the vaccine. Listen, 10 million people and more have the flu vaccine, and how many people per year catch the flu? You know, I'm not getting the vaccine, Dr. Oz. I'm not. I don't trust it.
And is there something particularly you don't trust about it, the fact that it was made quickly, the fact that we don't have enough follow-up? What specifically is bothering you about it?
Doctors are really smart people, but doctors don't know everything, and that's been proven as well. I'm not getting the vaccine.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't get the vaccine, everybody watching. I'm just saying I'm not getting the vaccine.
Okay, well, there's a woman that knows her mind, and she has a right to her decision, and many others especially with a lot of the stories coming out about the bad side effects of taking the vax, such as blood clots and other issues. I can certainly understand her position. Dr. Oz seemed to be flabbergasted that she would take that position because he's in the medical field and he believes that we should just agree with everything the so-called experts tell us. Well, the experts, I think, are being questioned more and more, and this is the right of the American people and people in general. They have their own individual decisions to make, and we have to respect them. Certainly, the pandemic is serious, and we should take it seriously, but on the other hand, we have a right to make our own independent choices. All right, so I want to talk a little about the voting, the integrity of the votes coming up. It's going to be a paramount concern to Americans, and we see many of us are very suspect of the election in 2020, the presidential election, and there are several battleground states that have audits underway, highlighted by the one in Arizona, and hopefully we'll be seeing some results from that. The evidence seemed to be trickling out that there was significant fraudulent voting going on, and the procedures in place were fraught with the dangers of fraudulent voting and a bad election count. And I think there are millions of Americans that are very, very concerned with the upcoming elections in the midterms in 2022 and going forward. Sidney Powell has been involved in the issue for quite a while, and I found a clip of her talking over Memorial Day weekend in Dallas, Texas, about the possibility that the election of 2020 could be overturned, although it has never happened in a presidential election, she says. But there's always a first time, so let's listen to Sidney Powell talk about the election of 2020. Here we go.
We're in uncharted territory.
We're definitely in uncharted territory. There are cases where elections have been overturned, but there's never been one at the presidential level, which everybody will jump to point out. That doesn't mean that it can't be done, though. There's always a first case, and as far as I know, this is the first case of abject fraud and obtaining a coup of the United States of America. So it's going to have to be dealt with. It should be that he can simply be reinstated, that a new inauguration date is set. And Biden is told to move out of the White House. And President Trump should be moved back in. I'm sure there's not going to be credit for time lost, unfortunately, because the Constitution itself sets the date for inauguration. But he should definitely get the remainder of his term and make the best of it, that's for sure.
All right, well, there's a patriot that is persistent in coming to the conclusion that we have some problems with the election. It still haven't been resolved, and many of us have the same mindset, and we want to get these answers in the research, whether it be on the source of the pandemic or the validity of the election. We do not want these issues shoveled under the rug and forgotten about. We want proper governmental response to them until we the people are satisfied. We're not going to be bamboozled into accepting a lot of talk but no action. We want these issues resolved. I'm going to give you the statistics now and the financial statistics I have. The Dow has closed the week and pretty much the month of May at 34,529.45. That was up from 2 weeks ago, and it has been steadily rising. It sometimes has a pullback, but then it starts its rise again as the Federal Reserve, many of us believe, step in with more money printing and maintaining low interest rates and downplaying inflation, calling it transitory. But we, again, and it doesn't make sense to many of us, and so we're very suspect of that this is a true valid expression of our financial markets. The NASDAQ was closed the week up from 2 weeks ago also at 13,748.74, and the S&P also up at 4,204.11. Gold closed the week at 1903.50 an ounce, and by the way, that's broke through the 1900 barrier, which it hasn't. I did some research, and the last time it was over 1900 was in September of 2020. Silver has been edging up also. It's up from 2 weeks ago at 27.93. 2 weeks ago it was at 27.43, so that's a 50-cent increase. And we see a big slump in Bitcoin. It is now under 35,000 a coin, and many think that, or certainly some think that that could be the sign of a collapsing asset. I want to now make an award. I haven't done one in a while, but the 3 V's in Action Award is going to be presented tonight, and I'm going to read to you an email that I got from Dr. Chaps in this regard, and award that to a young teacher. And let me go on with the discussion of it. An elementary school physical education teacher in Virginia was placed on leave after an explosive speech in which he told his school board he wouldn't affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa. During a Loudoun County School Board meeting Tuesday, teacher Byron Tanner Cross voiced the opposition to policies surrounding gender. Voiced his opposition to policies surrounding gender. And there are many in the country that agree with him. My name is Tanner Cross, and I am speaking out of love for those who are suffering from gender dysphoria. Cross told the board. He went on to discuss a 60 Minutes special about the issue. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because of lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes in their bodies. They are now detransitioning, he said. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies that would damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them, regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl, and vice versa, because it's against my religion. It's lying to a child. It's abuse to a child. And it's sinning against God, he said. So the principal of the school admitted to placing Cross on leave, but wouldn't say why. And Dr. Chaps has a comment. Teacher Tanner Cross is a hero, protecting children from LGBT recruiters who want to force Christians to repeat their propaganda. We will not. So congratulations to Byron Tanner Cross, and he is a winner of the 3Vs in Action Award for using his voice and his valuables, which is his time. And one of the two valuables, time and money, so he uses time to voice his concerns. And he deserves our thanks. And hopefully he will be reinstated. And those in Virginia should do their best. And all of us, if we can contact the board, then you can get the information on Dr. Chaps' website, which is PrayInJesusName.org, but it's the name of the board. Let me give you that. The Loudoun County School Board in Virginia. That's L-O-U-D-O-U-N. So it might be a good idea. I think I will do it tomorrow as a Memorial Day duty, way to serve those that have served us. And they fought for, they gave their lives. We can at least contact the school board and emphasize that they want the teacher reinstated. Okay, let me give you the approval and disapproval figures on the presidency. President Biden, the latest approval is 54.0, and that's down from 2 weeks ago, and the disapproval is at 41.7, and that is down slightly also from 2 weeks ago. So we got one more day to the holiday. I hope you've had a good rest these last few days. Maybe you got better weather than we did as far as getting out, but now that the pandemic is waning, hopefully we can get out more and our mask will be a thing of the past. So that's about it for the show. Again, let me just check the chat room and see if anyone's in there with any last-minute comments. And no one's in there now. But I want to encourage you to call in on our next show, which will be on Blog Talk Radio on June the 13th, 2021. So this is the end of the live show. I'll be coming up with the non-live portion shortly, and I want to wish you the best until we meet again, and stay safe, use your common sense, use your 3 V's, and remember to pray to your Creator and ask Him for guidance in all things that you do, and you can never be led astray. Well, good night, everyone. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show with the non-live portion of the program, and this is a time for me to talk without any call-ins or chat room discussions or anything. It's just 15 minutes of yours truly talking about what he thinks is important. And tonight I'm going to play a clip that I think is very important. And as we've talked about many times, as many of us believe that there is a Marxism movement, a strong Marxism movement going on in our country, when we see the things that are happening with the election and what's happened since this administration has assumed the executive branch. And thankfully, we still have 50 senators in the Republican Party that are in the Senate, and a very large number in the House, although slightly below what is needed for majority. But hopefully in the 2022 election, after that's over, we will take control of the House and get more control of the Senate, because I think Americans are waking up. They're seeing clearly that this Marxism agenda is definitely here. And it never goes away, so we have to be as wise as serpents and remain gentle as doves and make sure it does not take control of our country. So we're in that battle, and one of the leading fighters to accomplish our good ends is Dr. Scott Lively, and I'm going to play a clip that he has that I think you'll find very helpful and a good way to inform you about the issue of socialism versus capitalism. So here it is, Dr. Scott Lively, and here we go.
Hi, this is Dr. Scott Lively, and my theme today is the false choice of socialism versus capitalism. My WorldNet Daily column of December 3rd, 2019 addressed the false choice of progressive versus conservative political affiliation and exposed it as a tactic of psychological manipulation through rhetoric by the Marxists, designed to trap the people of God into a tide of history mindset in order to neutralize our resistance to their campaign to replace Judeo-Christian civilization with a socialist utopia. The best way to break free from a trap is to know how it was constructed. So today's commentary delves deeper into political history. The origins of left-right progressive/conservative polarization come from France during its revolutionary period that started in the 1790s. The French Revolution, like the American Revolution, was ultimately a war by the, quote, lower classes against the top-down rulership of European monarchies. Crying no king but Jesus, the children of the First Great Awakening, 1740s in America, many of them Christian clergy of the Black Robed Regiment, won that war of worldviews in 1776, launching with our Declaration of Independence from the British monarchy, the world's first, best, and longest-lasting constitutional republic, a non-sectarian but Bible-based model embraced by theists and deists alike, that ended both rule by monarchy and formal class distinctions. The French, however, associated Christianity with the corrupt Roman Catholic system then undergirding the French monarchy, and thus rejected the Judeo-Christian framework of the American model. Instead, they invented a new humanistic state religion that blended paganism and occultism with deism, allowing them to justify a demonic orgy of mass murder of aristocrats, clergymen, and others, called the Reign of Terror. The French Republic, which emerged from the Revolution, was forced back under Catholicism by Napoleon and pursued a pre-Marxist, proto-socialist agenda, which Pope Francis would probably have loved. That ended with the June Insurrection of 1848, in which 10,000 unemployed workers were slaughtered by the government for protesting a subsistence-level welfare program. Two facts from that period are critical. First, the Communist Manifesto of 1848 by Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, was translated to French and published in Paris a few weeks before the June insurrection. Second, the French Parliament in 1848 was a political battlefield pitting the Party of Movement, the progenitors of the progressives, against the Party of Order, the pro-royalist conservatives. The Party of Movement sat on the left, and the Party of Order sat on the right in their assembly hall. So the framework for the Marxist tide of history narrative in which they play the progressive heroes fighting for freedom and liberty for the oppressed, and we are the conservatives defending the status quo of privilege for the rich and powerful, embodies the spirit and perspective of the French Revolution, not the American Revolution. What is the primary difference between the two revolutions that produced such stunningly different results? Allegiance to the God of the Bible. Americans overwhelmingly prospered by aligning ourselves to God in our Constitution and culture until 1947, when our Supreme Court replaced the Bible with secular humanism, the religion of Marxism, as our religious foundation. Since then, our freedoms and culture have been smothered by ever-creeping, sometimes leaping, socialism. Now, just as identifying as conservatives ensnares us in the Marxist trap of being foot-dragging defenders of the status quo instead of proactive visionaries of a God-honoring, shining city on a hill, so does our blind and unqualified defense of capitalism, as the term is used today, ensnare us in the role of shielding the globalist super-rich from scrutiny and accountability. Socialism versus capitalism is a self-defeating false choice for conservatives because it frames the public policy debate in humanist terms. Both socialism and capitalism reflect Darwinist premises. Socialism emphasizes human-driven evolution toward utopian perfection, measured by the advance of egalitarianism, while pure capitalism emphasizes hands-off economic survival of the fittest as the alternate path toward the same goal, measured by technological advancement. Both reject the notion of God's active guidance of humanity in favor of the humanist doctrine of human self-perfectibility. Both socialism and capitalism contain enough elements of the biblical worldview to lure well-intentioned members of the religious left and religious right into fighting about their respective merits and shortcomings. Thus, once again, the humanist elites use the tactic of polarization to divide and conquer the masses by getting us to believe that predatory corporatism and governmental socialism are our only choices, always keeping public policy debate focused on the fight between the two camps, both of which they control at the top level. It's just another version of the Democrat blue team versus GOP red team tactic of the purple uniparty that we fall for every election cycle. In contrast, the biblical model of economics assumes all wealth is God's, and the duty of every human being is ethical stewardship of whatever portion he puts in our hands to maximize the blessing for all. And the biblical legal principles for preventing multi-generational hoarding by self-serving family dynasties are limitations on usury and the cyclical jubilee system of debt liberation. Shamefully, we modern Christians are so biblically illiterate that most of us can't even grasp how biblical economics works, let alone articulate its fundamentals as an alternative to the socialist capitalist paradigm. Indeed, we are so heavily steeped in the Marxist corrupt logic that even we Christians will fall immediately into squabbling about forced redistribution of wealth through taxation versus the duty of society to care for the poor and needy, as if those are the only options. We would never have been engulfed in this swamp of false choices had we not first surrendered the culture to secularism, which is just the religion of humanism by another name. To reclaim America, we must stop letting the humanists define reality for us by submitting to their false logical presuppositions and instead openly and unapologetically champion biblical wisdom as the solution to the social and fiscal problems. Truth will prevail only if those who know the truth resume our duty to defend and teach it. For more of my commentaries, visit scottlively.net. May God richly bless you as you stand. stand firmly on his truth.
Well, that was quite a commentary, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to read more about Scott's views, you can go to his website, which is scottlively.net, and you might consider supporting him. He is forming a group now called the Swamp Rangers, and hopefully that will grow into a force that will bring the biblical worldview to our lives more and more, and I think we will all be better off because of it. So again, you can go there by going to scottlively.net. You can also communicate with him with his email address, and you'll find all of that on that website. So that's about it for the Labor Day weekend. I'm sorry, the Memorial Day weekend show. We think this is called the unofficial start of summer, and we'll probably be getting much warmer weather, so make sure you take that into consideration and try to keep cool. And if you see things heating up like they did last year with these riots that were taking place in many of our major cities, we want to make sure we're aware of that and deal with it appropriately. I like to refer to the preamble to the Constitution, which talks about the purpose of the federal government. And let me state the four purposes again here. And that is to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility. And that's the one where, in order to make any progress, we need to have law and order. If the police are unlawful, then they need to be taken into account and brought to justice also. But I think to blame the police for everything is unjust, and to do that will only be to our detriment. I certainly don't think defunding the police is the answer. My experience with the police over decades is one that is very positive. So you have to be careful of people that appear to be talking in your best interest but actually are not serving you well at all. And what I recommend there is to become still and ask for guidance from above. You can never go wrong if you ask for God's help. He will come to aid you and try to remove all the distractions from your life. That's what I've been doing in the last year or so, removing the distractions. I am not on any Facebook or Twitter or doing any of that. I read a lot about the things that are going on in the world. We have to live in the world, but not be of the world. So with that thought in mind, I think I'll close out our Memorial Weekend broadcast and wish you the best of the final day of the 3-day weekend tomorrow. And I hope you can get out to a memorial and pay your respects to military people that have given the utmost in service to their country. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on June the 13th. And I hope you can come, and I wish you could come in and into the chat room and talk among yourselves and form some good friendships. But I know it's a late hour, but hopefully you can do that. So anyway, that's about it. I'll end the show as I usually do with this song.